Thank you for listening to this message from Greenwood Community Church of the Nazarene. It is our prayer that God would speak to you in a real way through His Word. To learn more about our ministry, or to connect with us, go to www.gcnaz.church or search for Community Naz on Facebook. Now, let's dive into God's Word today.
Well, tonight, I want to get real with you right off the bat. Is that okay? So a few years back, I stood before a mirror on an Ash Wednesday just like this. The black cross was smudged on my forehead. And I thought about these words that the pastor had said that night. From dust you came, and to dust you will return. And that night, it hit me hard. It hit me hard because I realized I'd been coasting. In my walk with Christ, I had been coasting. I had a busy ministry, for sure, but my prayer life was shallow. My fasting was rare, if at all. And my giving was calculated. Just enough to feel like I was doing enough. Each Lenten season, I have committed since then to daily reflection on Psalm 51. And over the last 2 years, as we've done Ash Wednesday together with me, we've looked at this verse. And so we're going to look at Psalm 51 tonight. And that night I was looking at Psalm 51, and I recognized that David's raw cry in that passage, in that psalm, about the sin that he had struggled with, it wrecked me. Because I was struggling with sin. I do struggle with sin. I saw my brokenness, but I also saw God's mercy. Friends, this is where context matters. The ashes we're going to take later are not a sign of defeat. They're the start of grace. Or at least they can be. Have you felt the pull that your sin creates in your life? The brokenness that it makes you feel? We all know the drill, right? Lent kicks in today. How many of you have been to a Lent service yet? There's a Lent service in town. Okay. Rodney did. It's 40 days to Easter, which is a great day, right? Easter is an awesome day for the church. I confessed earlier today that when I was a new Christian, I didn't understand the Good Friday thing at all. Why do we celebrate the pain of the cross? Like, that doesn't make sense to me. It didn't make sense to me at the time. He already won, right? He rose from the dead. He came out of the tomb. Why are we celebrating Good Friday? And I came to realize something, and this relates to tonight. We need to confront that our sin, our individual sin, put him there. And if we don't confront that reality and recognize that your sin was enough to drive Jesus to the cross, sin is always going to be an issue, a deep and profound issue in our lives. Let's do some real talk. Culture twists Lent into diets, sacrificing things that aren't real sacrifices. I decided this year I'm going to give up coffee for Lent. You find that funny, but I've literally heard people say that exact same concept. I'm going to give up something. And I'm like, you don't do that. So you're not really giving anything up. So why even claim it? We do it to make ourselves feel good, don't we? I'm going to give up chocolate this Lent. How often do you eat chocolate? Almost never. Well, then you're not giving it up. Sometimes you'll see in the church world, you'll see people post their fast online. They're all about telling you that they're fasting and what they're fasting from and how holy they must seem to you because they're fasting from it. We see this all the time with, I'm going to take a social media fast. I've never done this. Maybe this is a challenge one of you want to take up. When you see somebody post that, start a countdown to clock on your phone or something and see how long they actually last not on social media. Sometimes you'll see these showy prayers online, again on social media. You'll see people give and they'll say that they're giving. This new thing about our birthdays where we put on that we want to fundraise for something. Why don't you just give your birthday money? Without telling anybody about it, right? We've misunderstood Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 6. Or at least, we haven't taken it seriously. So this is where we're going to actually start tonight. Sunday morning, we started our new series, and we were in the Sermon on the Mount. Tonight, we will be in the Sermon on the Mount once again. So do you have your Bibles? If you open them to Matthew chapter 6, if you don't have them, they will not be on the screen tonight. And I'm going to warn you, on Sunday morning, they won't be on the screen either, because I want you to bring Bibles to church. So bring your Bibles. If you're not, you can just listen. It's okay. But we're going to be Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Watch out. That's a great way to start. Watch out. Don't do your good deeds publicly. Now remember, these are the red letters. If you can tell in my Bible, these are the red letters. So what does that mean? Jesus is speaking, so it's kind of important, right? Don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired by others. Does it say don't do public deeds at all? Or good deeds at all? No. Why? It says don't do good deeds to get the admiration of people, right? He says, for you will lose the reward from your Father in heaven. When you give to someone in need, don't do as the hypocrites do, blowing trumpets in the synagogues and streets to call attention to their acts of charity. Let me pause for a second. This is something that our culture loves to do right now. The phrase is virtue signaling, right? Look at what I did. That is not Christian attitude. We don't go out on social media or go to our friend group or to our family and say, look at me, look at how good I am. I tell you the truth, they have received all the reward they will ever get. But when you give to someone in need, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Give your gifts in private, and your Father who sees everything will reward you. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father who sees everything will reward you. When you pray, don't babble on and on as the Gentiles do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him. Pray like this. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. That's harsh, isn't it? And when you fast, don't make it obvious as the hypocrites do, for they try to look miserable and disheveled. People will admire them for their fasting. I tell you the truth, that is the only reward they will ever get. But when you fast, comb your hair. That's hard for me. I can't follow that that one. And wash your face. Then no one will notice that you are fasting except your Father who knows what you do in private, and your Father who sees everything will reward you. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Before we break this down, I want to read a couple more passages. We're going to go into the Old Testament for a moment. We're going to go to Joel. Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. It's right after Hosea. If you've gotten to Daniel, you're almost there. Joel chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. It says this, "That is why the Lord says, turn to me now while there is time. Give me your hearts. Come with fasting, weeping, and mourning. Don't tear your clothing in your grief, but tear your hearts instead. Listen to this. Return to the Lord your God, for he is merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. He is eager to relent and not to punish." One more passage. Psalm 51. I referenced that earlier. Psalm chapter 51. "Have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love. Because of your great compassion, blot out the stain of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sin. For I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. Against you and you alone have I sinned. I have done what is evil in your sight. You will be proved right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just. For I was born a sinner, yes, from the moment my mother conceived me. But you desire honesty from the womb, teaching me wisdom even there. Oh, give me back my joy again. You have broken me. Now let me rejoice. Don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and make me willing to obey you. Then I will teach your ways to rebels, and they will return to you. Forgive me for shedding blood, O God, who saves. Then I will joyfully sing of your forgiveness. Unseal my lips, O Lord, that my mouth may praise you. You do not desire a sacrifice, or I would offer one. You do not want a burnt offering. The sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God." Can you sense David's broken and contrite heart there? Church, we crave renewal. But if we don't understand Scripture properly, we end up performing, don't we? I don't know about you, but I'm weary of empty rituals within the church. When we do communion, when we do Ash Wednesday, Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, these aren't empty rituals that we just do because we're the church. They mean something. Lent calls us to go deeper, to let God in more, to allow him to change us even more, to transform us even more. This is the phrase I want you to remember tonight. The ashes remind us of our mortality, but Jesus offers us eternal life through repentance and grace. The ashes remind us of our mortality, but Jesus offers us eternal life through repentance and grace. Let's dig in. We're going to start with the Matthew passage. Now, in the Matthew passage, it contrasts a hypocrite's show with the Father's reward. A hypocrite's show and the Father's reward. Does anyone know what hypocrite means in Greek? Its literal definition? Okay. It's okay. Acting. It means an actor. It's being something that you're not. Hypocrites in the church seek men's applause. True disciples seek God in the secret. True disciples seek God in the secret. When we fast, we're not to have gloomy faces about us. We should have joy, anointed joy. We should remember that when we're fasting, where does our strength come from? It comes from Him, right? If you're relying on your own strength to get through a fast, you're doing it wrong. What about the passage we read in Joel chapter 2? Joel is urging the people of God to repent. He's urging God's people to allow their hearts to be transformed over external perception. And this passage echoes what the prophet Hosea says in the book that comes before it in Hosea chapter 6, verse 6, which says this: I want you, this is God speaking, I want you to show love, not offer sacrifices. I want you to know me more than I want burnt offerings. I want you to know me more than I want burnt offerings. Now let's look at Psalm 51. In this passage, David has already sinned by having an affair with Bathsheba. And David's plea is this: have mercy on me, wash me, create in me a clean heart, a pure heart. Our God desires broken spirits, not perfection. Jesus tells the story, you hear me speak of this often, it's one of my favorite parables, the tax collector and the Pharisee. It's a retelling of Psalm 51. The tax collector beats his chest and says, I'm a sinner. I'm not worthy. And yet God says, what about the tax collector? That man went away right before God. The ashes that we put on our foreheads tonight, they symbolize dust. They symbolize sin's curse on humanity. Our curse is death. Sin's curse is death. But Jesus, through the cross, turns mortality to resurrection life. Somebody say amen. The context of Lent is a journey to Calvary, a journey to the cross, where grace triumphs, right? Where repentance cleanses us for spirit-filled living. And where God draws near to us in our weaknesses. The ashes are coming soon. I want to reiterate, this is not a sign of shame. It's a sign of grace. When you take those ashes on your forehead, you are showing that you are marked by grace. A grace that surpasses all understanding. A grace that we do not deserve. Let me ask you this. Where is your heart torn tonight? Do you have secret anger? Are you struggling with prayerless days? Do you have a stingy spirit? Today, may we begin together Lent in a humble way. I'm going to give you three things to focus on this Lent. Three simple things. First, reflect honestly in this season on your life. Be honest with yourself about where you have sin and where it needs to go away. Because once you have identified the sin in your life, you can call upon the Spirit of God to help you get rid of it, to overcome it. One of the problems with our culture within the church, the Big C Church right now, is that there are so many people that don't want to look at sin. They want to just push it aside and say it's not a big deal. Sin is a big deal. It separates us from God. We need to overcome it. One thing you might do, join me. Reflect on Psalm 51 through this Lenten season. Every single day. It's 17 verses. The first 17 verses. Read it with me every single day. Reflect on it. Maybe you journal about it. But reflect on Psalm 51. Second, turn from your sin. The word repent means to turn and go the opposite direction. I know this seems kind of simplistic, but don't sin. We're going to make mistakes. We're humans, right? We're broken. However, as you get to know Jesus and you live with Jesus longer and longer, I would hope that you're sinning less and less. And that the kinds of sin that you were struggling with when you first came to know Jesus are not sins you're struggling with today. Third, seek Jesus every day. Jesus says if you seek after him, you're going to find him. He says in Revelation 3:20 that he stands at the door of your heart and he's knocking and he's just waiting for you to open that door so that he can come into the room of your heart and have dinner with you, put his feet under your table and have a meal with you. Jesus wants relationship. Part of seeking Jesus daily, you have to have a prayer life. This book needs to matter. The words that are contained within this book need to matter. And you can't just have it sit on your shelf and collect dust and say, well, I have one. Guess what's not going to happen? Just by being in your house, it's not like the words kind of float out of the Bible and then come into your brain and your heart and mind and all of a sudden you know the Bible. That's not how it works. You actually, I know it's a novel concept, you got to open it up and read it. You have to actually study it, spend time in it. You have to meditate and marinate on the Word of God. Let it seep into your soul. How many of you have fasted in the last year? Not for medical purposes, for spiritual purposes. Two. Church, we can do better. We need to do better. We need to be fasting intentionally. Fasting is a part of the rhythm of grace. And if you don't know how to fast, come talk to me. I will help you work through fasting. There are multiple ways to fast, things to fast from. But if you want to fast this Lent, come talk to me and I will help you figure out fasting. I want you to know you're not alone. You have your church family here behind you and with you. More importantly, you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you who's going to never leave you. And his mercy is waiting for you. So tonight, in just a moment, after we sing a couple more songs, I'm going to invite you to come and receive the ashes. And I'm praying that you will let grace mark you. As a church, we walk through Lent united. If anyone does choose to fast and we find out about it, you should support and encourage them because fasting is not easy. But it is important. We should pray together during this season. If you feel called to get a group of people together, don't hide that. Don't say, oh, well, you know, okay, God is leading me to do that, but I don't really feel comfortable. If you feel the Holy Spirit leading you to start a prayer group, start a prayer group. Invite somebody because chances are, the people that God lays on your heart to ask are already thinking the exact same thing. They need you to ask. They're waiting for you to step out and ask them in. Invite them in.